Okay, so we're now after the last shir on this sugya, and we are going to be discussing today the topic of bias akum. Right, so in terms of the first two shirim in this sugya, we're focusing on the first answer in Tosos, which is the factor of karka olam, and we're discussing, you know, that exception to yehar le'aver of karka olam. So here it brings us to Rabbeinu Tam's answer to the question. Again, remember, just to remind ourselves, and we'll read it inside in just a moment, right? The question is basically why both in Sanhedrin, in the context of Esther, and the beginning of Ksubis, in the context of those Arusos, so does the Gemara ignore the factor of Giloy Arayos? Right? The Gemara in both cases, you know, basically either, you know, focus on different factors, and therefore the question is, what about Giloy Arayos? So basically, you know, the first day in Tosos is basically focused on, oh, it's Karka Olam, that's why there's no Giloy Arayos there. And Rabbeinu Tam is going to focus on Bias Akum. So let's just read the Rabbeinu Tam inside, a bunch of lines. And before, you want to read for us?
Sure.
And just before we read, just going into it, just to something to focus on, is that it's to pay careful attention to the different, let's say, Isurim being discussed by both Rabbeinu Tam and the Rivam. So we're going to see a total of four or five different contexts, different Yisurim are being discussed, and a lot of them are being equated, and it's very important to, you know, differentiate between them, because that might be the key, as we'll see, to answering the question of Rabbeinu Tam. So just keep pay careful attention to that. See, starting with Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, Rabbeinu Tam Haile Farish.
Everyone have it? Rabbeinu Tam's answer to the question? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Bahi Diksuas. With Esther. The lo mechayev al nimsar nafsho bias akum she'ain biaso bia. A guy's bia is not a bia. Lo mechayev amisa biaso. The rechmana af grei lazari that we chachamim. Tichsev asher basar chamur and besarim v'zimra sismin dermasam. It's just like an animal. Babi kibias behem avalma.
So far, what has he been discussing?
See, the reason that the Gemara didn't ask Esther is a Gilai Arayos is because it's a guy and that's not a real sir to bia.
Exactly. So far, the one iser. Right, in short, the issue that's been being discussed is the issue of Giloy Arayos. So Rabbeinu Tam explicitly says that the factor of Bias Akum basically neutralizes or is not subject to the issue of Giloy Arayos.
It's still the issue of an animal. Of an animal?
That's not Arayos, though. That's not Erva.
Mitoch kach, hitir lebas sral shamir daita, v'nisei sal akum. V'chazar v'tshuva, v'akum nisgayir. He also converted the kaima. She stay married.
Yes. What's the case?
The case is this woman, she married that, and she converted to some other religion.
If we hadn't seen the Bin Zion, this would be the crazy case of the night. Right. The Bin Zion, this is
not. This woman didn't say she was married. She's married to a Jew.
Okay. Yeah.
And then she switched to some other religion, and she had beat with a guy. And then her and the guy, she did shuva, and the guy became a ger, and they say that they stayed married.
So the question, yes, but what would the potential iser be? The iser lebal. So Rabbeinu Tam, after saying that there is no bias akum is not subject to iser gilarayo, so he now says similarly, there's no iser lebal, right? Because again, this guy who she had bia with is is the Baal, right? She cheated on her husband with this guy, he's the Baal, and we end up, Rabbeinu Tam ends up being matir her to continue to marry that Baal.
With a get from her husband.
Exactly.
The Alpha Gav to Amar, even though he said, Kishem Shosh Sur the Baal, Kacha Sur the Baal, Hani Mil Yibiyasi Surah, that's only by a Bia of a Jew. Avo Akam below. By a guy, no such rule.
Exactly. Okay,
I was wondering, why are we not concerned about that maybe he's only converting to stay married to her?
That's a good question. That normally is an issue of Geras. I mean, generally the Mishnah in Yuvama says that if someone is just converting in order to marry a Jew, we suspect that. But, it's a good question. I would call it, in this context, the Kasha Lamaisa. Meaning, it happened. So, I mean, Rabbeinu Tam didn't seem like he was involved in that part of the process. He was involved in the Israel Baal part, but that's a good question.
Unless you say, mind, you know.
Mind, you know.
Can you say that? Or?
That what?
Generally, it doesn't apply by Geras. Generally, we suspect, you know, the intentions of a Ger if he's doing it just to get married.
It would also be that there's a time period where things were very bad for Jews.
Okay, yeah, could be. Fine. Right? So basically, Rabbi Natam, explicitly, very important, he explicitly deals with Gila. He says, Bias Akum is not subject to Gila Rayas. And then he explicitly says, it's not, right, the psak in hand is dealing with the Isser Labo. That's very important. Okay.
The Lord of the Hero, the Rebbe Meir, the Kevan de Neseres Labala, Bias Akum, even if a sin she does to her husband from Bias Akum, Kitik Amar Ksuos, Ika Prutus Kule, Rechem Perak Shane Ksuos, he said, Aisha Shin Nichbisha, Bidi Akum, she was captured by a Gayim. Idina Fashos, and they want to kill her, right? Asur Labal, she offered to her husband, we've seen that she had a bia with his guy.
Yeah.
Right. Esther. So to Esther,
it says, Kasher
Abadati, it seemed that she was saying Mordechai, she was done.
Right. So these three Gemaras prove that even when it comes to Bias Akum, there still is an Isser.
Right. Le. The Baal.
Le Baal.
Amal, Gavi, Loser, Albala, Lokashiva, Gibias Behema. Hachinami, Yeshla, Oser, Albo.
Right, so this is a very important, we'll get back to this. The Rivam is saying, oh, I just proved Rabbi Natan wrong, seemingly by saying, oh, their Bias Akum is subject, does trigger an Isser Labal. And so too, that Isser Labal, that's how he's undermining Rabbi Natan. We'll get back to the details in a moment.
This is third
one. That's by Esther. The Gemara Darshan's in Megillah, I believe, right. That Kesher Avadati means that she's going to become Asur, Asura to Mordechai.
So the second Raya is the Gemara Ksuvas Chachon from his base?
Yeah.
What's the first
Raya? The Gemara Ksuvas Gimel, guys. Ika Pritzos. So all three of these Gemaras assume that if she is Baratzon, even though she's only having Bia with a guy, it still triggers an Isser to her husband.
Can you read?
Yeah. Following lines.
The Chain Lipso Lakuna, Pnuyash Nivalakam. So the Alpha God.
So again, this is another context,
right,
which we're not going to discuss. But there also is an Isser, you know, Likuhuna for Truma, right? Alpha, if she's an Asia's Cohen, that she, you know, can't eat Truma anymore.
Alpha God del Nivela Behema Kshera Likuhuna Bergavali Vinto. We see Lochashiva Kibhema.
So you see the difference, right?
Right.
It's not true that, you know, Bias Akum is exactly like Bias Behema. You see a difference in terms of, you know, the Isser Likuhuna.
Right. So now he's dealing with Isser
the Likuhuna.
Now he's dealing with the pasuk. V'dafugetli in chayas amar perignosin derchman afrezari. Right, only regarding his yichus.
He's not related to his children.
To children, right? Do we say that's after?
You can't extrapolate from there that somehow because there's no yichus, somehow that impacts the ma'isabia.
Uperik arusa amrina.
This is the last raya.
Mekani na'idei nachri.
Right. This refers to kinoi, right? The act of warning, right? The sota process is that, you know, someone you is a husband who suspects his wife, basically warns her, kinoi, warns her not to be secluded with a certain man, and then if he's secluded with that man, then it's called an Isser Sota. So basically, Gemara says that this applies, Isser Sota is even triggered if she's secluded with a guy.
Right.
So not only is it guy, be with a guy, postal, but Truman also triggers, right, an Isser Sota.
Uparach, we ask, Pshita, Benisra, Benidmam, Rachman, Echelabal, Echelabal, Echel Truma. So what's the Chiddush here? Said, Maya, the Kema, Kiam, Rina, Benisra, Benidma, Hanimili, Hefed, Dibhach, Bia, Asirle. She makes him.
She's only ushered to this person
through a Bia.
Through this Bia.
Mashalan.
Even by a guy where there's a pre existing Isser.
Yeah.
That
Meaning he's already asked him. Okay, I see.
What does that mean? Already asked
him? Meaning there's already an Isser to be with a guy. There's always an Isser, whether you're married or not.
Right.
So the Chiddush, you might think the only time that the Kinoi and Stira apply is in a situation where it's only Isser to be with that person because of your marriage. But here, you're Isser even before you're married because you cannot be with a guy.
I don't like that. I feel Gabi Akum Shech Nidma Lesser with the Baal. We would do the Baal.
Fine. So basically, as we're going to have to break down each Isser, but basically already in Tosas we've seen the issue of Bias Akum being discussed by Gila Rayos, Isser Labal, Isser Labal, Truma / Kuhuna, and Sota. So we're now going to discuss at least most of them separately, and each one separately as you'll see. So going back to the first one of Gila Rayos. So here, Rabbi Natan has this idea that there is no Isser of Gila Rayos when it comes to Bias Akum. And the reasoning that he gives is that because of Zirma Susum, because there is no yachas, because there is no relationship between the father, between a guy and his children, somehow that dictates that there's no iser of gilai arayos.
Is
Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, right? He says, because a guy is not related to his offspring, somehow that's why, somehow that results in there not being an iser of gilai arayos with Naak. And the major question is, what exactly is the connection between the lack of yachas, between the lack of relationship between a guy and his offspring, and the lack of gilui arayos?
I think it's a connection. You only find such a lack of connection by animals.
Okay, but this person's not an animal, so therefore you still have to figure out why is that, why is that common denominator?
Well, if his action was considered a maisa be of a human, he would be related to the children.
Okay. So now we're getting to the point that it's not clear in Otosism, but it's actually clear in Eratosis and in the Shita Mikbetzes Shahed, you see, that Rabbeinu Tam is a very important line here. Again, this is not found in Tosis and Sanhedrin or in Ksubas, but where Rabbeinu Tam adds here that She'ein Biyaso Bia, right, that the Bia with a guy does not have the status of a Maisa Bia. That seems to be, the koveya. We still have to ask, now, what exactly is the connection between those two different things? Why is there, what's going on here? What's the connection between the lack of yachas and there not being a maisa bia? So what Rabbeinu Tam seems to be holding, which becomes a very, very important chiddush, is that the lack of yachas, the lack of relationship to your children, is a simen to the lack of a maisa bia, because the idea is that you only have, in halacha, a relationship is only caused between, a father and his offspring, if that offspring is created through a halachic maisa bia. Right? So only if that offspring is created through a halachic maisa bia is the father related to the child. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, the fact that there is no relationship between a guy and his offspring, that reflects, that's a simen, that's an indicator, that there is no maisa bia for a guy. And therefore, once there is no maisa bia, memela, there's no iser of gilui arayos, because the iser of gilui arayos is only triggered by a halachic maisa bia.
Why are they not related?
Meaning, well, that's the Chiddush Torah. The Chiddush Torah is that the father is not related to the offspring, but Rabbeinu Tam's interpretation of that is that, not necessarily the reason for that, but that indicates that there is no maisa bia. The question is, what's the connection between those two different things? The connection is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the only way, according to the Torah, according to halacha, the only way a father becomes related to their child is if that child is created through a halachic maisa bia. And therefore the lack of relationship reflects the lack of halachic maisa bia.
And why would you have to specify, we're there and now you're not related to your...
That's a different factor.
No, because I'm saying if you wouldn't have to say that you're not related now to your parent. You would never have to teach that, you're not now related. You have no parents.
Oh, because even maternal relationships. This only applies to a father and a child.
Or not a mother.
Gerash Niskaya, Katan Shinola Dalmi applies to all relationships, even maternal.
Okay.
Even maternal relationships.
It doesn't, just because I think logically.
You're going to say necessary and sufficient?
Yeah.
So, that's fine. It's a good point. Yeah, but Tosos is...
I think it is, too.
When I was preparing, I'm like, I know Cole's an answer. That's a compliment. That's a compliment. Yes. Good question. Explain it. Yeah, let Cole explain the question.
Right. The fact that the only way... a father could be related to his children this would be easier if I had a blackboard. Is through bia doesn't mean that just because he's not related to them, there isn't bia.
Yeah. I mean, because there theoretically could have been other reasons as well. That's basically
right. Yeah,
you don't know yet. So what Tosus seems to be assuming that this is the only candidate.
Right. Yeah. You're not related to your children just in case they weren't produced through an act of DM.
I'm not sure I understood that. I mean, lots of too many negatives. But in short, because Rebbeinu Tam thinks that without a halachic ma'asabiyah, you're not related to your children, when Tosos sees the lack of relationship between a child and their, between, I'll say, a child of a guy and a guy, Tosos thinks the only candidate, only potential reason in this circumstance is the factor of ma'asabiyah. Theoretically, structurally, there could have been other reasons, but Tosos thinks that this is the only reason. Oh, just to go on for just one more second. So this explanation that the lack of yachas reflects the lack of a ma'asabiyah, so again, this is clearly explicated by Tosos' Lashon, again, Tosos and Yuma specifically, where he says, she'ein biyaso biya, that's very clear, and the Shita Mikbetzas also has a similar Lashon, where he says, bias akum eina biya, again, focusing that there's no halachic biya. And one very interesting, halacha lemaisa application of this, that Rav Shechter has a piece in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi, Simen Tes Zayin Os Hay, where he basically, based on this, you saw it coming out of Rabbeinu Tam, that there is the only time you're related to your child is if that child is created through a maisa biya. He says, in a case of intravenous fertilization, where a child is created, shelo al yedei ma'asa biya, he says there's no relationship. And the child is not related to the sperm donor. And therefore he says that...
And the sperm donor is the father?
Well,
if he's Jewish. If he's Jewish.
Yeah. Even if the sperm donor is, let's say, married to the...
Doesn't matter.
If he's Jewish.
Doesn't matter. Exactly, yeah. I mean, a guy is an example of a lack of ma'asa biya, but there's an example where...
The biya has to cause the pregnancy in order.
Exactly. A child only created from biya is related to the father.
That universally said the shita?
What?
Is that the only shita?
Well, we're going to see. Rivan doesn't.
I mean, like...
Seems like the people argue in Rav Shechter.
Other people argue. And basically what Rav Shechter ends up saying ends up being a kula, because a big question about... let's say, the sperm donor is Jewish, but you don't know whether there's any mamzerus issues. But generally, the mother is koveh, whether the child is Jewish or not. So if the sperm donor was a guy, it wouldn't matter. But it's always a worry that maybe there's a problem in any, let's say, yichus issues, let's say mamzerus from the father. But he says, because of this, he's still coming out of Rabbeinu Tam, that the child is only related to the father when the child is created through ma'asa biya. He says that if it ends up being a big kulav, it doesn't matter whether there are any yuchsin issues with the father, any mamzeris issues with the father, because that will not carry over to the child, because this child is not related to the sperm donor, because the child is created shelo al yedei ma'asa biya. So again, important application of this yisod.
Wasn't he created with zera al-Yisod?
But it's not ma'asa biya.
But the point is that he has no yichus to the father, he has yichus to himself. Himself is mamzerus, right?
No, mamzerus is only coming from the father and mamzerus issues.
It comes from the ma'asabiyah, really.
It's not the zera of the father that's kaveh, mamzerus, the father himself is kaveh.
Yeah, it's the yichus from the father. Generally, it would be like, if you ask it off the street, it's like a silly question. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's not the yichus, it's the ma'asabiyah. If a regular Jew...
No, I mean, it's the yichus which is carried over by ma'asabiyah.
No, but yichus, let's say a ish. He's a mamzer, but there's no mouth.
That's different. I was talking about a case where the father has the status of a mamzer, not when the child is created as a mamzer. So, I didn't remember. I will assure him for details. Yeah.
Alright. I was just wondering, what would have been say about a woman who's a non-Jew, say by a Cohen? Would he hold the same thing and say Cohen is
No, it's only by a man.
Okay, so even if there was a case,
they agree. Yeah, this is specific to...
Because it's impossible.
Yeah, exactly. It's only about...
Where is it in your test?
Tes Zayin. Simen Tes Zayin. Who's... Okay, so Adkan is the discussion.
So they're saying that because Bia Skoy is not Bia, therefore
the child is not related to the father because it wasn't an Arsibia?
I would say the opposite. The lack of relationship between the father and the child reflects, is a siman, is an indicator that there is no Maisabiyah. Because if there was a Maisabiyah, then there would be a relationship. Once there is no Maisabiyah, that dictates that there's no Isser of Gilui Arayos, because the Isser of Gilui Arayos requires a halachic Maisabiyah.
But where do we first get this idea of lack of relationship?
That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam puts those two things together. He said... What?
How?
That's his understanding. His understanding, I mean, he goes in with the assumption of that relationship is based on Maisabiyah, and he thereby, in his words discussing the call before, he interprets the lack of yach, the lack of relationship when it comes to a guy, as being a symptom of the lack of Maisabiyah.
Where does he get the lack of relationship from?
Oh, the lack of relationship that comes from the pasuk. Sorry, I don't understand. Zirma Susum Zirmasam establishes the lack of relationship. Ben Otam's Chiddush is therefore, you know,
which pasuk?
Let's see, quotes in Tosis. Zero system, zero system.
Oh, okay.
Bino Tam's Chiddush is to extrapolate from that lack of relationship that reflects the lack of a halachic ma'asabiyah. That's what Bino Tam's Chiddush. That's what the Rivam later, as we read, says, no, what are you talking about? That's a din of yichus. It doesn't impact any of these other halachos. It doesn't impact the status of the ma'asabiyah. But that's what Bino Tam's assumption that, you know, yichus is impacted by the ma'asabiyah, and therefore the lack of yichus could reflect. And he thinks in this case does reflect the lack of Maisabiyah. Let's just go on in the last year in the Sigur. We have to finish. Okay. Second Isser that's discussed by Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu Tam then, after saying that the lack of Maisabiyah dictates there's no Isser of Gilui Arayos, he then, therefore, in his case, carries that over and says, oh, similarly, there's no Isser Leboa. Right?
It says both.
What?
It doesn't specify which.
Exactly. No, we get it. So, Rabbeinu Tam himself, in his case, paskins, just like there's no Isser of Gilui Arayos by Bias HaKom, similarly there's no Isser LeBoel, and therefore it's mutter for this Isha to marry the Boel, that guy who she was originally Mizana with. And again, similarly, there are different ways to say this, but we'll leave it just simply, for now, that the same way that the lack of Maisabiyah, you know, undermines the Isser of Gilui Arayos, it similarly undermines Isser Labal, meaning there's only the Isra Labal is only triggered by a Maisabiyah. Once there's no Maisabiyah, there's not going to be, just like there's no Isra Gilarayos, there's also not going to be any Isra Labal. So far, pretty simple. Oh. Now moving on to the third context, and that is Isra Labal. Here is where it gets complicated. So here the Rivam, as we read inside before, basically garners a lot of evidence and brings three Gemaras. Ksubas Gimel Beis, Ksubas Chavav Beis, and Gemara Megillah, Kasher Barati Avadati, brings all these rayos that Bias Akum triggers an Isra Labal. Right? If an Isha cheats on her husband with a guy, she still becomes Aser to her husband. And the Rivam says based on that, it says, oh, just like we find that Bias Akum Shmei Bia, in order to trigger an Isra Labaal. So too, that should also trigger an Isra Labaal. So what are you talking about, Rabbeinu Tam?
Wait, that happens now.
I don't think so. He says, I prove in these Gemaras
that
when it comes to Bias Akum triggers an Isra Labaal to the husband.
Oh.
That's the, so just like Bias Akum is a Bia, as we see in the Isra Labaal context, so too we can then derive that Huadin Labaal. So you're for sure wrong, Rabbeinu Tam, right? Your psak by the Baal is wrong because there's an equation between the Isra Labaal and the Isra Labaal.
This position makes much sense.
Okay, good. Good suspense for the next line. Yeah.
So it could be that Rabbeinu Tam argues on that transition between the Baal and the Baal.
Excellent. Did you hear that?
What about the transition between the Baal and the
Boel? Rabbeinu Tam might just argue that just because it applies to the Baal doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to apply to the Boel as well.
Obviously. What I'm saying is that there's kind of a pleasant symmetry to this position. Okay. That position scotches out the window.
Okay, so we're gonna spend a lot of time just defending Aaron's position, because I think it is correct. So the Shita Mikubetes... I know you... you hedged your bet. You say, oh, obviously that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Shittim Gebetzes and Gimel and Beis and Ksubis, which is the first, you know, makor on the sheet, makes exactly the chilek that Aaron just, you know, drew. And basically says that Rabbeinu Tam's psak was only in the case of an Isser Labal. And therefore, all Urios Rivam / Riva, right, that there is an Isser Labal that's triggered by a Bias Akum, that has no relevance to the issue at hand of an Isser Labal. That's the way the Shita Mikbetzes defends Rabbeinu Tam, by being mechalik between the Isser Labal and the Isser Labal. So as Cole just mentioned, that's a nice chiluk. The question is, what's the basis of that chiluk? Because generally, or more specifically, the Gemara always formulates together. Always formulates that Kishem Shasura Labal, you're also Asura Labal. Right? So the Gemara always puts together the Isra Labal and the Isra Labal. So the question is, why here do we find this difference, and what is that difference? So this takes us back to that article that Rav Schachter has, and he mentions in a footnote the following answer. It becomes a very important yisod, and we're trying to develop that with a number of sources. And the yisod that he develops is that while the koveya for both the Isser Giloy Arayos and the Isser Leboel is a halachic maisabia, right, and therefore when it comes to Bias Akum, which is not defined as a halachic maisabia, those two Isurim of Giloy Arayos and Isser Leboel are not triggered. But when it comes to the Isser Leba'al, are you becoming a surah to your husband moving forward? That does not require a halachic maisabia. The way he says it, we'll maybe redefine it in a second, the way he says it, that you don't need a halachic maisabia as long as you have what he calls a maisa ishus. And therefore, what he says, Bias Aku, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is not a halachic maisabia, but because it's a maisa ishus, which I think is just like a, basically just like a looser term for any attempted intimacy between two individuals, right? But it includes even cases which, for whatever reason, are not halachic maisa bia, because there's a level of intimacy there, we'll call it maisa ishus, that is enough to trigger Isser Labal. And he brings a parallel where he says, oh, you similarly find, not in the context of Isser Labal, but when it comes to the Isser Sota, where, and we'll get to this later, that generally we paskin that a bia, an aver mace, right, which is the Gemara's terminology for an aver, which is, has undergone kishui. So a bia with an aver shemace is not considered a lachik maisa bia, but yet a bia with an aver shemace triggers an Isser Sota. So Rav Schachter is saying, just like you find by the Isser Sota that you can have an Isser which is triggered by a non-halachic bia, in that case because there's no kishoy, so too here when it comes to the Isser Laba'al, you can also have that Isser be triggered by a not, by something which is not defined as a halachic maisa bia, namely Bias Akum.
So. Question?
Yeah.
So by Sota, this Ever Shmei, whatever it's called, it would make her it would trigger kinoi?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. I mean the whole Rav Schachter answer? Yeah. So basically, what Rav Schachter is basically saying is that the difference between Giloy Arayos and Isser Labal on the one hand, which are not triggered by Bias Akum, and Isser Labal, which is basically what is the koveya for each? The koveya, right, that which triggers the Isser Giloy Arayos and the Isser Labal is a halachic maisabia. And therefore, when it comes to Bias Akum, which according to Rabbeinu Tam is not a halachic maisabia, therefore those two Yisurim will not be triggered. When it comes to the Isser Labal, I want to develop exactly why this would be the case in just a moment. When it comes to the Isser Labal, that is triggered, or that can be triggered even if, what he says is, would be triggered by a Maisa Ishus. Even by something which is not defined as a halachic bia, as long as it's a Maisa Ishus, so we'll call it, just translate that as like an act of intimacy between, you know, of Ishus, that is enough to trigger an Isser Labal, even if that Maisa Isha, that act of intimacy, for whatever reason, is lacks the status of a Maisa Bia, either because it's a Bias Akum, or if it's an Aver Shemes in a different context.
Dexo hears well with the discussion in Sota about the qualifications for, I just learned this, but that coheres well in Sota with the qualifications about what the, because when he, the guy, is when the guy makes the warning, it's just about stira. It's not about, in other words,
okay.
Right, and when she, if she violates stira,
yeah.
And then fails the sota test, she's usher to him, la'ola.
Yeah, so we'll see there, yeah, 100%. We're going to get to even like a sharper, you know, raya from there. But yeah, 100%. Oh, so just now to develop, so now just to develop, to explain, like, so why is that the case? Why is that when it comes to gilui rayos, and Isra Leboel, you need a Maisabia. When it comes to Isra Lebaal, and perhaps Sota, we'll get to later, somehow a non-Maisabia suffices. Any Maisa Ishas is able to trigger it. So this is where the Marik, the Binyan Tzion, and the Or Samach are going to come in. We're basically going to see a lot of evidence for the following Yisod. That when it comes to Isra Lebaal, right, the factor at hand is the merit, is the rebellion of the wife against the husband. That by cheating on her husband, the oser, right, that which asers her to her husband, that which triggers the Isra Lebaal moving forward, is the merit, is the rebellion. And therefore, once you formulate the Isra in terms of merit, in terms of rebellion, it's open to now saying that perhaps that merit can be accomplished by a non-Maisabiyah. Because you can have a merit, you can have a rebellion, even with a Maisa Ishus, to use the Refractor's Lashonos. Even if it's not technically a Maisabiyah, at the end of the day, when you have Biyah with an Akum, that's still a merit, that's still a rebellion against your husband. Even if it's an Aver Shemes, that's still a rebellion against your husband. So perhaps, and we're now going to just bring a number of Rios to this idea that the Koveya for the Isra Lebaal is this idea of merit, ma'al, bo ma'al, this is the rebellion against him, the husband, and once we see that idea, we can now take this back to this chiluk of Rabbeinu Tam in terms of why the Isra Lebaal specifically, it doesn't require a Maisabiyah to trigger it, because perhaps even non-Maisabiyahs, you know, is a qualify for this idea of merit. Yeah.
So, but Esther, how is that?
Whoa. You're jumping. Before we get to Esther, let's just see where that comes in. Okay. So the first makor which highlights this idea of merit is the famous tshuva of the Marik. So the Marik is discussing a case, which again, Tsarach Ian, as they say, in terms of what she was thinking, but for whatever reason, she thought that it was mutter to be mezaneh, to cheat on her husband. She knew what she was doing, right? She was baratzon when she was cheating on her husband, but she thought, you know, that God allowed it. So the question is, the halacha is that if a wife is mezaneh bishogeg, that she's mutter to her husband. The question is this considered shogeg? Because shogeg, from the perspective of Bein Adam L'Makom, she didn't know it was aser, right? Generally, the classic case of shogeg. I didn't know that this was a malach on Shabbos. I didn't know that I couldn't cook on Shabbos. So that's shogeg. So from the perspective of Bein Adam L'Makom, she didn't know that this was aser. So perhaps from that standpoint, you would say, oh, it's shogeg. But on the other hand, from the Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero, from the perspective of her husband, she knew she was cheating on her husband. She did that baratzon. So the question is, what's the koveya? So the Marik famously develops, it's famous because he also makes a diuk in the pasuk, generally Rishonim don't make diuk in the pasuk, and it's like a drasha. But basically, the Marik says that the formulation in the pasuk,
you spell this guy's name?
Marik. You can see the Marik.
Marik.
So the Marik says, if you look at the pasuk dealing with Gilui Rayos, it's malo bo ma. You rebelled against him, your husband. It says, not umal umala ma'al bahashem. Not that you rebelled against Hashem. And therefore it says, the koveya therefore is, whether she was shogeg or mazid slash ratzon in terms of her husband. And therefore, in this case, where she was mazid beratzon against her husband because she intended to cheat on her husband, therefore, this is considered a mazid, and therefore she's asura to her husband. And then he goes on to Esther and says, similarly, because the koveya is for shogeg and mazid when it comes to the issur l'baal is the bein adam l'chavero, and not the bein adam l'makom. It's all about the relationship between her and her husband. We can reformulate in terms of the rebellion against the husband. He says that's pshat in why Esther became asura to Mordechai. Kasher avadat yavadat. And the major question is, what do you mean? She was doing it to save Klal Yisrael. Hashem wanted her to do it, so it was completely l'shem shemayim. But yes, she's asura. The Marek says, yeah, exactly. Because the koveya for Isser Labal is not bein adam l'makom. Just like before, it didn't matter that she was shogeg in terms of whether she thought that God ossered it. Just like that didn't matter. So too, it doesn't matter when it comes to the Isser Labal, whether God, in this case, wanted her to do it. At the end of the day, her having bia with someone else other than her husband is a rebellion against her husband, and therefore that triggers the Isser Labal. That's the Marek. Exactly. So I'm just going to ask one question because you might be asking this. The major question on this Marek, this is actually what the Binyon Tzion himself asks in the next Shuvah we'll see. Binyon Tzion asks in the Marek and says, okay, I can accept your Yersod that, or even according to your Yersod, that the koveya for the Isser Labal is the mered against the husband, is the rebellion against the husband. This is the Binyan Tzion's rejection of the Marek. So he poses the following question. He says, even according to your Yesod, or specifically according to your Yesod, Marek, that the koveya, the determining factor of the Isser Labal, is, you know, the merit, the rebellion against the husband. In the case of Esther, who was the one who encouraged her to have bia? It's Mordechai. So he says, how can you consider it a merit against Mordechai if Mordechai, it wasn't just Hashem was telling her to do it, Mordechai, the husband himself, was telling her to do it. Okay. Good. That's the Marek's answer. No, it's very important. The Binyamin Tzion himself is not willing to say that, but I think exactly what Binyamin is saying is the Marek thinks that just because the husband told her to do it, I would reformulate, is that it's still a rebellion against the institution of the marriage itself.
The particular marriage, just marriage in general.
Yes, and I want to say it in a different way, that when Mordechai was telling her to be Boal Achashverosh, you know, they say, like, you know, people wear different hats at different times. I would say he was wearing his Gadol Ador hat. He was saying, L'shem Hatzalas Klal Yisrael, in order to save Klal Yisrael, this is the right thing to do. But in terms of his husband hat, it still would have been a rebellion. Because at the end of the day, any Maisa Ishus outside the confines of marriage itself is a merit against the husband. Oh, in this case, Mordechai happened to be the Gadol Ador who told her that, oh, in order for Klal Yisrael, you need to do it. But at the end of the day, that was Mordechai wearing his Gadol Ador hat. But in terms of being the husband, it still was a rebellion against Mordechai. As the husband, Mordechai, the Gadol Ador, was saying, okay, you know, you still have to do this, l'shem hatzalat Klal Yisrael. So in short, the Marek clearly holds that the koveya for the Isser Labal is the merit against the husband. And he goes so far to say that even in a case where it's completely l'shem shemayim, and even when the husband himself says, yeah, you know, this is so l'shem shemayim, I agree with this, Marek still thinks that's a merit against the husband. Yeah.
But it's still the same person. I mean, like, as a husband, she's saving Klal Yisrael. Like, as a husband, he knows that.
So I'm saying, either you're going to say this mushel wearing different hats, or, you know, sometimes, I'm saying, not literally, but I'm saying this idea of, like, you know, people have different, you know, I don't want to say agendas. Agendas has a negative connotation. But, you know, they're multifaceted, you know, people are multifaceted. They have different roles in life. And, you know, sometimes it's a clash between different roles. You know, as a husband, I'd rather you not do this, but I see that there's, you know, a counter pressure in terms of Klal Yisrael. Either that, or I think you might like better. I think that is true, but I think you would like better the idea of maybe the institution of marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does that work?
That, you know, it's a rebellion against, even though this particular husband is just an objective thing. Any bia outside the context of marriage is objectively considered a... Any ma'aseh ishus is considered a rebellion against, you know, I know you like that. I still think the other way could also work, but I don't think you're going to like that. And I get to know my customers. So I call, you know.
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't...
We're,
okay, okay.
Please question.
No, we're just my clients.
Yeah.
So the second makor is the Binyan Tzion. So for the Binyan Tzion, the fascinating, tragic Shaila, and for that we call on Yonah. Not everybody was able to read the long question inside, but just a good brief recap of the story of what the Binyan Tzion. I don't want to put you on the spot, only if you want. Yeah.
Basically,
laps, everyone can hear you.
Guys, a guy went on a business trip, and then his wife,
the husband
went on a business trip, and his family was still home. And then this guy showed up at the house and said, like, "Could I stay here?" So he stayed there. He was there for like 2 weeks, and during that time, he was like barely eating anything, and he was like sleeping on the ground. And he seemed to be a great person. He was the same for the And then when Shabbos, like the second Shabbos, he was there, I guess. Everyone left after the meal, and then the wife and him were still sitting at the table, and he started talking to her, and then she asked him where he's from and everything, and he said he's Eliyahu the Navi, and then
they need to have Bia in order to...
Well,
that was after. First she says Eliyahu, and then she goes to sleep.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. Right? I said synopsis, but okay.
she goes to sleep, and then he comes up and wakes her up and says, like, "You're fit to be like the mother of the Shia."
Only problem is great. Only problem is that's terrible.
Your father is your husband. I mean,
only problem is your husband. So therefore,
that says like the proof is going to be like 3 days after I leave, then there'll be like 400 whatever type of money. It was.
Golden, whatever.
Be, in a chest in my room. You can't open it before then. So then so then they have to be like on Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos, and then he leaves like Sunday morning early. And then she like sends a letter to her husband saying like what happened. And he comes home and they look in the chest on Tuesday and there's nothing in there.
And she realized.
So she realized what happened, and then he says the question.
Yeah. So now the question is. So the way, if you see the law, it's really tragic because if you look at the law shown, it's really coming from her righteousness. At night. Naivete.
She was really conned.
Not really. That's really, and it's
that
it's,
happens
it's,
all the time.
Okay, Rahmanas, because it really seems to have been a righteous woman, who, and therefore the Binyan, it was fascinating. Just that, you know, you can tell even the compassion. And the Binyan Tzion writes back, he's basically saying like, "Oh, we need to find the heter. Obviously, within the halachic system, we need to find the heter for this lady, clearly righteous, you know, woman who had all the right kavanos, and therefore." So in short, the halachic quandary.
What's the halachic mean that? So why would you think that?
Whatever it is. But the point is, from a halachic standpoint, this is a case where she was completely, she was mezaneh, but she was completely l'shem shamayim. So first the Binyan Tzion says, "Oh look, you have this marik. Marik clearly holds that because he develops this yisod, that because the koveya for the issel habaal is all about the rebellion, and therefore he says, oh look," and Marik discusses a parallel case of Esther, where it's l'shem shemayim. He says, "No, there still is rebellion." So Binyan Tzion says, based on Marik, we're in trouble here. But Binyan Tzion, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, the author of the Aruch Haner, more familiar Sefer, this is a Shalos V'Tshuva Sefer. The Binyan Tzion says, "I agree with you, your sod, Marik, that the koveya for the iser of the iser labal is the merit against the husband, but I disagree with your application."
But by Esther?
Even more generally, but including Esther, "I disagree with your application. I think that if in a case where the isha is completely l'shem shamayim, that's not considered a merit against the husband." And he says, like in the case of Esther, where if the husband, this is a question that he asked before, if Mordechai is the one who gave permission, he says, how can you consider that to be a merit against the husband? So again, the Binyan Tzion agrees with the Marik's, you know, basic yisod. He says, in the Marik's original case, where she is purposely cheating on her husband, but she thinks it's mutter, in that case, the Binyan Tzion is going to agree that there's an Isra Labal there, because there is a merit against her husband. but he disagrees in the extension to the case of L'shem Shemayim, or in the case of Esther, or in the case, or his case, where if she is completely L'shem Shemayim, according to according to the Minyan Sion, he argues and says, when she is L'shem Shemayim, that's not considered merit against the husband. So they both agree to this yisod that the koveya is merit against the husband. The machlokes between the Marik and the Binyan Sion is in terms of how are you magdir merit against the husband. Is the case of her having complete kavanah l'shem shamayim, is that considered merit against the husband or not?
What's a realistic case where, like, not Eliyahu would not be coming to the house, but what's
in terms
a good
of l'shem
shamayim? Yeah, like, for instance, you know, your family's starving, the only way you can feed them is with a prostitute. Like, is that a case where, like, I'm trying to think of a realistic of a case where this would actually come up.
Yeah. Or let's say Esther was a realistic case.
Okay, all right, but in the case of, like...
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously an extreme, but I'm saying the Esther case.
Okay.
Esther was told that this is L'shem Hatzalas Kol Yisrael, that she needs to do this. Just the only last thing that we have to resolve... Exactly, is the question is, how do you deal with Esther? So this is where the Binyan Sion gets a little creative, and I think it's pretty dachuk, right? Because the Esther seems to be a great raya for the Marik,
yeah.
Right? Because Esther is, right, L'shem, or L'shem Shemayim, but yet, clear, Kasher Avadati, that she becomes a surah to Mordechai. So Binyan Sion has a very big chiddush and says, the difference between the case of Esther and his case is whether that bia will for sure bring about the tzala at hand. And he says, in the case of Esther, is his reading into the narrative, it wasn't clear at the time whether that was the way to save Kal Yisrael. And therefore, since it was only Safek Hatzalas Kal Yisrael, that's why she becomes a Surah. But when it comes to this sad, tragic case, her mindset was that this was the only way to bring about Mashiach. And therefore, there was a Vadai Hatzalas Kal Yisrael, and therefore there is a Heter in that case. Again, the reason why that's a little dachuk is because in the end of the day, if the whole factor is in terms of judging or trying to, you know, characterize her actions as in terms of merit, it should be exactly, it should be her intentions. And therefore, if the reason why Esther was doing that was she was doing L'shem Shemayim, why should it matter whether objectively it was, you know, a suffix whether it was going to work or whether that was needed? So that's, I think, is the dachuk part of the Binyan Sion. Again, if the whole fact, if you real is more like imkvar asfar, once the Binyan Sion holds that kavanah l'shem shemayim is not merit, it's hard to then say that even if she has kavanah l'shem shemayim, but if, you know, it's a suffix whether it's going to work, that it's, you know, not necessarily going to have a hetter. So I think it's a little dull.
Yeah, well, how can we pull it on her das? So she's like some crazy woman. She thinks, this will.
No, because that's the point. The point is the merit. That's like exactly the point. I mean, just like Rabbeinu Tam.
Rabbeinu more than merit on her part than Esther's part.
What do you say? Because that's a separate issue about whether it was suffic or vadai. But in terms of why her mindset matters, that's because the whole nature of the iser is the merit, is the rebellion, and therefore says Rabbeinu Tam, which again I think is understandable, that how do you judge whether something is considered a merit? Mindset is a big part of that. Again. The Marik, I think, in terms of that issue, I think the Marik is a bigger chiddush, this idea of merit against the institution, or, you know, the different, you know, different hats of a person. But in terms of the fact, you know, once you accept the yisod of merit, I think it's reasonable to accept the idea of, you know, how, no matter how, you know, naive she was being, at the end of the day, that was her kavana.
So
I'm not the subject is
that
I'm not sure about. That's
still completely changed her mind. Just asking me something.
Exactly. That's why it's
like. So you say the same thing by the woman also.
No, because in her mind, that was the only way. He convinced her, in her mind, the only way for Mashiach to come was if they had the child together. So, in her mind, you can't call that merit. Yeah.
Is it like a fact that Esther was a surah? Or like,
no, that's the Gemara. That's the Gemara and Megillah. They're all quoted. That's one of the rayos that Rivam brings against Rabbeinu Tam.
Why can you say it was mutter to do as long as it was done with karkola, but once she went to Achashverosh, and that's when it became asa?
But it's not an issue of karkola. It's an issue of kavanah l'shem shemayim.
I'm saying you could have kavanah, but you have to do it as
That's not what they're saying. Probably not what they're saying. I hear what you're saying, Yisvar, but that's not what they're arguing. And the Binyan doesn't say that. He says the factor itself.
Why can't you be better than this?
I don't know. I have to think about it. Okay, I'm not sure if the Karka Olam plays a role in terms of this. And I think here the issue is more mindset.
So I guess this might be a little bit of a cop-out. Once we're dealing with once we're dealing with the way in which the woman's perceiving things, why can't you say that one was Heather from Mordechai, who was the girl at the door, and the other one was Heather from Shemai? So the woman was Heather from Shemai, and you could have brought the whole girl, you could do this.
Well, actually, you might laugh. But the Binyan Siman actually brings up that issue. That it was like an Ones Min Shemayim. That's a separate issue. Where the Binyan Siman says, the Binyan Siman is really trying, it's a very interesting fact in terms of an halachic process. Binyan Siman thinks, I don't want to get into this, but wants to bring it up. Binyan Siman says, Marik, I disagree with you. I think as long as she has Kavan Moshim Shemayim, it's fine. But because it's such a weighty issue, you're allowing her to go back with her husband. He tries to give now a svara that would even work according to Marik. Neighbor says, and even according to you, Marik, that Kavan L'Shem Shemayim doesn't work, you still it's considered Ones Min Shemayim. Since she really thought that she was, being compelled by Hashem, so Binyan Siyon actually does like that. Okay. So far we have the Marik and the Binyan Siyon, who are both accepting this Yesod that the Koveya is merit. Just one last, Mefarish, who seems to accept this Yesod, is the Or Sameach, which again was also on the sheets, you might not be able to see it. The Or Sameach quotes the Marik and basically gives another application. He says, because I also accept the Marik's Yisod, that the Koveya for the Isser Labal is the merit against the husband. So he says, a Ketana, right, you can have a case where a Ketana is married. A Ketana, who cheats on her husband, says the Or Sameach, based on the Marik's, Yisod, even though there was no Isser for the Ketana, she's not subject to any Yisurim or any mitzvos, it doesn't matter. Because even though Bin Adam Lamakom, there's no Isser for her to be Mezaneh, at the end of the day, her cheating on her husband is still considered a rebellion. It's still Mal Bo Ma'al, and therefore she's going to become Asura Lama. What? So that would depend on all of these questions. Exactly.
Why would she be?
Well, this is a little different because this is a Maisabia. So this could be. We'll get back to that in a second. Just to summarize. So basically, the Or Sameach is taking this Yesod of the Marik, that it's the Koveya is the Mered, and saying therefore it's going to apply to a Ketana, who, again, there's no Isser per se in terms of Bein Adam L'Makom, but he says no, the Koveya based on the Marik is the Mered against the husband, and therefore that it even applies to a Ketana. So again, in short, what I'm trying to develop here is that once you see based on the Sisor of the Marik, which is accepted by both the Binyan Siyon and the Or Sameach, this idea that the Koveya of the Isser L'Baal is all about the merit, is all about the rebellion against the husband, I think based on that Yisod, I think you can now understand better why Rabbeinu Tam would say that specifically when it comes to the Isser L'Baal, it doesn't need a formal halachic ma'isabia. That even we call it ma'isa ishus, anything which qualifies as a merit will also trigger the Isser L'Baal. So that's where we're trying to put all these things together. Again, in contradistinction to the Isser Gilui Arayos and Isser L'Baal, which are those are triggered by formal halachic ma'isabia, we're saying the uniqueness of the Isser L'Baal is that it's expanded, it's triggered by even non-bios because it's about the Isser, it's about the merit. Again, it's important to note that Marik or Sameach and Yitzion, they're not talking about Rabbeinu Tam's application. They're not talking about this issue. And there are two different issues. One issue is expanding Isser L'Baal, to a non-Maisabiyah. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Old Marik and company, they're just discussing the nature of the Isser L'Baal in terms of being merit L'Baal. They don't make this connection. We're just saying that based on that yesod of merit, you can then justify the expansion of the Isser L'Baal past a technical ma'aseh bia to include other ma'aseh ishus as well. Just to make sure I finish the last thing, and then I'll take all the questions. So far, we discussed the role of bias akum by Gilei Raios, Isser Leboal, and Isser Lebal. Now the fourth issue I'd like to discuss, which is also brought up by Tosos, is the Isser Sota. Again, if you recall, one of the Raios that the Rivam brought against Rabbi Tam was that it's clear from the Gemara in Sota that Kinoi and Stira, the Isser Sota, even applies to a guy. That are, even when right, a husband warns her, warns his wife against being secluded with a guy, that still triggers the whole Isser Sota.
Where in Sota is this?
Sota Chavav.
Oh,
okay. So again, so that's the raya of, that's one of the rayas of the Rivam to say, oh look, the fact that the Isser Sota applies to a guy, so too, you know, Isser Leboel and the Isser of Gilei Raios. But again, parallel to what we were saying before, along those lines, the Beis HaLevi, is also had, I printed out, certainly most guys did not get to see that, but this is in Chelek Beis, Simen Mem, Oz, Hey, you'll see it on the sheets. Beis HaLevi develops for Rabbeinu Tam, defend Rabbeinu Tam from this kasha along the lines that we were developing before, to say that what's needed to trigger an Isser Sota is not a halachic ma'asabia. And he brings Raios that you have examples of Isser Sota being triggered by non-ma'asabia, one example of which is Eber Shemes, which is not considered a ma'asabia, but still triggers an Isser Sota. And the Beis HaLevi develops at length this idea that why is it? Why is the Isser Sota expanded beyond a Ma'aseh Bia? Very parallel to what we're developing, he has a phrase borrowed from the Gemara in Sota Chavav, where he says that the Isser Sota is all about Kpeda Debal. Literally, the Kpeda, what's a good word for Kpeda? His makbid, his
particular,
his particularness. Kpeda. Whatever the Baal, and whatever the Baal feels is inappropriate, that is Koveh. And Gemara and Sota, that's what you're going to bring your Raya, so this is like a better Raya. The Gemara is a fascinating Havamina, that the Baal can even warn his wife, not only about not having Bia, not being secluded in order to have Bia with these other people, but also what the Gemara calls Ali Derech Evar, not to have any inappropriate touch. And the Gemara says, what an inappropriate touch, that's not Gilei Raios, it's Derech Evarim, right? Touching Evarim, that's not Ma'aseh Bia. The Gemara says, the Havamina is because it's all about Kepeda Debal. So the Beis HaLevi is developing that although the Maskana rejects that application and says we don't go so far as Derech Evarim, just touching the outer body, that Yisod of Kepeda Debal is accepted Lamaskana, it's just that application which is rejected, and therefore other cases such as like Eber Shemes or Bias Akum, which are more intimate actions, more intimate Maisei Ishas, so those are going to trigger the Isser Sota based on this factor of Kepeda Debal. And as you probably realize, this factor of Kepeda Debal sounds very similar to the idea of Merid that was developing earlier. So again, the same Yisod of Merid which underlies the Isser Lebal, Beis HaLevi is saying, is the same idea of Kepeda Debal, which is underlying the Isser of Sota, and therefore it's not a surprise that those are the two contexts where even Rabbeinu Tam is going to admit that Bias Akum is going to play a role, both by Isser Sota and the Isser Lebal, because in those contexts you don't need a Ma'aseh Bia. Rabbeinu Tam only rejects the application of Bias Akum when it comes to Gilei Raios and the Isser Lebal, which require a Ma'aseh Bia, but now when it comes to the Isser Sota and the Isser Lebal, where it's all about merit / Kepeda Debal, and therefore non Ma'aseh Bia qualify. Okay? Huh? Open to any questions.
I still don't get exactly why the Tinokas is usher.
Because although she is not bat mitzvah and therefore she is not formally, subject to Isurim, the Rabbein Adam Lamakom, her Avera, she's not a bas onshin. End of the day, it's her act of cheating on her husband is still a rebellion against her husband.
What's another
That's like before, when, like Marek's case, where she knows that she's cheating on her husband, she just thinks it's mutter. It's a parallel case to the Myrick's original case, where you have a situation where there's no merit against the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there is merit against her husband.
Isn't a katan allowed to do a different avera than
none of them? At the end of the day, if she's married to her husband, it's still considered a rebellion against her husband to cheat with someone else.
But to be usher means, like, there's no concept of usher by katan. You can't.
I didn't say usher. I said it's a merit against that.
Oh.
No, but that will end up generating an isser even when she becomes a gadol.
Oh, it's only when she's a gadol.
The point is whether her act of znus when she's a katana, whether that has any.
Meaning, well, she's a katana, she's not usser.
I'm saying it's usser midin chinuch, but it's not midaraisa.
Okay.
But the point is, sorry, that was your question. I didn't realize you were answer you're asking. But the point is, the question is, but maybe even, you know. Perhaps the no Isser is triggered even when she becomes a Gedola, because, you know, she wasn't subject to the Isser of Eishes Ish yet. The answer is doesn't matter that she wasn't subject to the Isser of Eishes Ish, because it's not a Bein Adam L'Makom Ish, according to Marik. It's Bein Adam L'Chavero, and it's about merit against the Baal.
Will the BNCN agree to that idea that a Katana will be Isser
Jerusalem? Seemingly. Again, different people can draw the line at different... I mean, again, they all agree to this Yisod of Marik. Again... Just like you find the Marik and the Binyan scene arguing about the application to L'Shem Shamayim, so again, you don't know for sure, but presumably.
In the case of Onis, is she usher to her husband? No.
Unless he's a Kohen. That's an exception. Okay, but generally...
So even though in the case of Shogeg, some opinions hold that...
Yeah, so a general Shogeg would also be mutter. So the question is, how do you define Shogeg?
I thought there were some opinions that say, even if she...
But it's a different type of Shogeg. If the shogeg, that's what Marek's saying. Marek's saying when the Gemara says that a shogeg is mutter, that's only a shogeg when a shogeg, you know, being adam l'chavero, where he says the case is where she goes her husband. That type of shogeg.
As opposed to, like, she didn't know
that it was usher.
That it was, she knew what she was doing, but she wouldn't have, like, acted under the description of herself violated. She didn't, like, it wasn't like a case of incontinence where it was like, you know, I know it's usher and I will do it.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Okay. Exactly.
So
the case of,
like, yeah, I know it's
sister,
so
was
okay.
She
all
married
at the time?
I think so.
So then wouldn't that go against
it's not explicit.
The same?
It's not explicit, I don't think.
Like,
it's also discussed.
Is
it the same Shemayim?
Yeah. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so again, I don't think it's explicit, that's probably why it's not a raya. But yeah, so that would probably be enough.
So
if you
didn't see
it, you'd
see that she booked.
She says it, he says it, I guess it's much better.
That's just also not a raya. It's a bar, but like, doesn't her body even see it?